Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Sam, chapter 33, verse 16 to 22. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. May God add blessings to the reading of his word.
At this time, I would like to invite all the women that went on the women's retreat to come on up. And while they're coming up, I just want to tell the rest of the congregation a few points about our weekend. 2 weeks ago, we went up to Mount Etna Resort for our women's retreat. We could not have gotten better weather in the world. It was just beautiful. So come on up back here. On Sabbath, we had about 30 women come. The theme for our weekend was Embrace Your Life. We had a guest speaker by the name of Sharon Thomas from Established Footsteps Ministries, and her passion is to teach women how to dig into the Bible, understand it, and apply it to their lives. So we spent a lot of time on Philippians, learning how to be content in our life, whether in the good or bad, and redefining our life, not on our day-to-day routines, but on living in Jesus Christ. Now, some of the fun things that we did in women's retreat actually involved two men. And one of them was Marcus, who packed up the equipment so that we could watch a nice chick flick on Saturday night. And the second man, my husband Mel, said to me on Friday, "Lisa, women have to have ice cream sundaes if you're watching a chick flick." So he came up Saturday night and brought us ice cream sundaes. So thank you so much. Well, on Sabbath, we did a lot of singing a cappella, and we decided we sounded really good. So we are going to share one of the songs that we sang, To God Be the Glory. So for Alan and Steve and Mel, this is the one time you will see me up front singing, and probably never again.
Done. so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Everything I want.
poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you.
Saints of the Most High, I was actually going to mount and get to the pulpit, but you know, the pulpit looks a little bit too distanced from you, and so I kind of chose to simply be here and share God's words from here. Once again, good morning. I think many of you would agree with me, at least that's my testimony, that I have enjoyed the blessings of the Lord since we began this morning from Sabbath school time. I have particularly enjoyed the programs in the church, which I attended fully, starting from the lovely program we had about the mothers, reflections on the Mother's Day, and the music that went on, and the mothers that blessed us with music here, and definitely the scripture reading that was done by the young lady. And obviously, our praise team has done an excellent job. I think we need to say a huge amen to all these. Amen? Thank you. I won't say much about Pastor CJ, because him and I enjoyed immensely being together in school. Him and I went to school together, and I remember him, if I remember correctly, he was always busy. Always busy, and he was very active to the point where I admired him as a fellow student in training, and I was so surprised to see you, Pastor, here. So thank you so much, and I praise the Lord that our God is still using you mightily as you serve God's people in this church. It's nice to see you. Just to make sure that I know you so well, when I saw the girls that were here and the elder was standing here, I kind of said, you know, That girl looks like Pastor CJ. Are they related? And said, oh, that's the daughter. So I'm so privileged to be here and to worship with you. My wife couldn't be here with us this morning. She's not feeling well. But my son and my other son joined me. And that is Bernard and David. Now, tell a story about David and Mother's Day. David, where are you? Just, I'll humiliate you. Come on, stand up now. Okay? Now, you will forgive me this after this, right? David is our last born. He goes to Southwestern College, where he's a junior. When David was young, very young, just I think about a year or so, he was very active, like most kids, very active. Now, we lived in an apartment that you had to come down on the steps to get to the ground level. I remember one day, my wife we were going to church, and my wife was coming down the steps to where the ground level was, and she was holding David in her arms like this when she actually tripped. Now, when she tripped, the choices were very few. By the way, the steps were iron steps, sharp, and they were iron. And the choices she had really were just probably two. The first choice was to let go the baby, both hands, so that she could grab to something to save herself. The other choice she had was to hang on to the baby and crash. My wife chose to hang on to the baby. And she went like this. I mean, they went like this, and she landed on her elbows on the ground as the baby was padded on her arms and was protected. That's the love of a mother. And that's what makes you mothers very special. Many times, because mothers stay very close with children all the time, sometimes we don't say much about what mothers have done for us, or probably express our appreciation to mothers as we should. But hey, mothers, at least take it from this person here, and I know many have said this to you: we are very grateful for what you do and what you contribute to the lives of many and to the life of the church. Happy Great Mother's Day. Thank you again. I'd like to, for the message for the day, I have kind of put it around the act of a mother, so that it would just resonate with this being Mother's Day. But I entitled it Pressure. And I don't know if any one of you, obviously those of you who are older, have had pressure in your life. I mean, you can't tell me you've not been there. You've had, life is full of times when things are crashing on you, and you feel the pressure of how do I handle life when I get all this pressure around me? And I would like us to share that theme, keeping in mind what the Bible text says, that a horse is vain without the help of the Lord, but blessed are those who look to God for help. If I do not say it the way the Lord would like me to say it, here is what is at the heart of this sermon. When you feel the pressure of life, those of you that are still young might not know that life can bring very, very challenging life issues that can put you under severe pressure. You may not understand this, but here is the message. When you are under pressure, lift up your eyes, look to God. He can help you. That's the message. See, I was talking to a young lady in a meeting where we were worshiping and praising God and talking about God's things, and she shared a story of how she grew up as a pastor's child. And as she grew up as a pastor's child, she was always, people, you know, this is interesting, people always look to the pastor, and the pastor all of a sudden realizes, which is true, that he's the spiritual leader, therefore expected to be the spiritual example, expected to be what he should be, or the family should be. And this girl said, you know, that's how I grew up in my father's home and my mother, and we prayed until I believed I really should uphold the image of the family. And then she said one time, like many other kids, I did something wrong and I got pregnant. I was still a teenager. When I got pregnant, I began wrestling within myself. What do I do? I have to keep the image of the family. And what I have done is really going to taint, to change, to destroy that which my parents have built. And she described this pressure and finally said when she couldn't handle the pressure, she ended up aborting that child. Pressure. Pressure is the one thing that when it really comes on you, it actually almost, it paralyzes you. You don't know what to do because you may know what to do, but the pressure just makes you fail to do what you can't look to heaven because you kind of feel, I need to take responsibility for this. A little boy simply shared it this way. Pastor, my dad knew I was always getting A's in class. I was an A student. This time I didn't study. And I didn't want my parents to think I am not an A student. So that's why I went ahead and just copied from my friend. Because I wanted to get an A. So even small children, even young people do face challenges when they know what is right. They know they should look to God for help. They know when things are not okay. They should seek God's hand. But pressure sometimes makes people take things in their own hands. I remember conducting a seminar one time. As I was conducting this seminar, it was on family finance. And I was talking about how to try and keep things within the cash the Lord has given you, within your income. As I was speaking and talking, this lady stood up. She was very agitated. Basically, what I had said was, hey, stay out of debt because if debt accumulates at the end of the day, it will put so much pressure on you, you will start doing things you shouldn't do. You can do too many things. She stood up. She couldn't hold it. She says, Pastor, hold on. Are you in the real world? And I paused for a moment. And she says, Pastor, let me tell you, I think it's high time you people realize that when you don't have anywhere to get money from, when you don't have any means in life, you do what you have to do. And I said, and what exactly is that? He says, Pastor, there's only one way. It's just borrow and borrow and borrow. And I said, and at the end of all the borrowing and borrowing and borrowing, what do you do? He says, okay, Pastor, then what else do you want me to do? Break a bank or do what? Pressure comes in many forms. And pressure is real even to God's children. I always say this, that if in life the Lord has really blessed you, you've not had pressure moments when your life is tested to depart from the norms of Scripture. If that has been your experience, praise God, but don't think it will not come. Life generally doesn't work that way. Just give it a little more time. You don't even have to be a bad person. You don't have to do bad things. You just need to live. And some things will come up that will test you and will challenge. A story is narrated to us in Scripture, and I will refer only to that story. You know it very well. It's a story in the book of Esther. Esther, a lady, this is Mother's Day, and I just want to highlight a story of a lady who found herself in a situation of extreme pressure. The entire Jewish nation, after wicked Haman had convinced the king to put his signature on annihilating all the Jews in the kingdom. It was a large kingdom under Xerxes, and the signatures implement the Jews are to be annihilated, and at that, Mordecai, the uncle to Esther, challenged Esther, and pressure was rising as the day was getting close, as the Jews' lives were under extreme threat, and pressure was mounting from all corners. The choices that they were faced were many, but I would like to dwell on the choice that Esther made. Scripture tells us in Esther chapter 4, reading verse 15. Esther chapter 4, verse 15. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Verse 16, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, nights, or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. When you are faced with pressure in life, pressure from all kinds of things, and pressure will come. Pressure to corrupt you, pressure to change your course of life, pressure in many ways. There's one thing I would like to suggest to you, and that is the choice that Esther made. Under severe pressure of actually loss of not only the lives of the Jews, but her own life, Esther chose to lift her eyes up to the hills from where true help comes from. She looked up and she encouraged the rest of the people, please fast for me, pray for me. It is not allowed for me to go in the presence of the king without being invited. The king can act, that may spell doom for my life. My life may end. But I am trusting that when we look up to God, when things are hard, when pressure mounts, when things are hard, we can please pray for me. Now let me say this. The choices are few when you are under pressure. The easiest one is to take matters in your own hands. To simply say, I am fed up. This is it. I'm done. I can't handle it. And by the way, let me not stand here and speak to you and appear like pressure is not real. Pressure can be so real. I had a man say to me, Pastor, for my entire life, and he says, I'm 54. In my entire life, I have been a child of God who has walked in the ways of the Lord until the issues of life created such pressure in me. I felt I was going to either explode or I was going to go insane. He says, and as I walked that evening, I walked to a pub and just began drinking, believing if something could just remove the pain I was going through, I chose to do that. I don't share this story to say, do what that man did. But I share this story to say, there are times when pressure in you can build up so much, when you see no way out of life because the pressures of life are crushing you from up, bottom, sides, front, and back, and you almost feel like you are going to die. A mother put it this way. She had gone to pick her daughter from work. The daughter was working. And the daughter was still a teenager, about 18 or so. And she had no car. The mother had not slept the previous night because she had been working. And ABC, name whatever the things that are in life, until she found herself going to pick this child. And when she got there, the daughter just knocked off from work. They got into a fight. The mother says this, and the daughter says this. And as they drove together, these are people who had lost sleep. They had not slept for some time, and their tempers were hard. As they were driving, the daughter was driving, the mother had taken the car there. The mother says, "Pastor, I just lost it and I slapped my daughter." This is a girl who's driving. The girl also loses it, just stops on the way. And police had to come and start separating the mother and the daughter fighting in the street. Pressure. We have the kind of life that we lead in society today that can really be, you know, I grew up in two worlds, I must say. As you can tell from my accent, I'm not from this society or this country. I'm from Zambia. So I've grown up in two worlds. The life in which we exist in most civilized communities or Western communities is such that to get sick and land you in hospital, you actually pray that you get healed the following day, because if you are not working and you're just sick in bed, challenges, financial things will be mounting up on you every day, and you just don't, you know, there used to be a time when you would enjoy resting, and praise God for the Sabbath, by the way. It just gives us time to rest, those who can find time to choose and rest. But life can be such that these things mount up and mount up, until you feel like, I don't know if you are like most people, when you are sorting out your mail, and the only mails that you put this side are the mails that say "pay me back." That's really the most important that you put this side. But you know, if you are like many people, and we are not. We are not NBA players, most of us. So if you are even NBA players, sometimes they. Point being, when you start writing those checks, you don't have enough money to write all of them. And at the end of the day, you just are pressure mounts. Beloved, Esther chose to use the old, well-tested formula. Take it to the Lord in prayer. She said, "Let's fast. Fast for me." Fasting is not very popular or common. And she didn't even say, "Let's fast for one day." She said, "Let's fast for 3 days." That's even worse. It's unpopular. But you know, the point is not how long you fast. The point is, she simply said, "I am entrusting my life into the hands of the Lord. Lord, please take over in my life. If you don't, Lord, I will crash." You know what's interesting is chapter 6 verse 1 says, "That night the king could not sleep. So he ordered the book of the Chronicles, the records of the reign, to be brought in and to read before him." A question that is asked is, why is it that on that night, the night when all the saints of God's children were praying, that's the night when the king simply could not sleep? You know, saints, if you have faith in God and you are willing to trust him, when you surrender to God, you just collapse before God and say, "Lord, please take over. Help me. Life is hard." Our Heavenly Father will start what I call the divine science. He makes the king not sleep. He starts doing things on your behalf, including he gives you strength not to choose things that can destroy you. He gives you strength. He gives you wisdom. He gives you, he kind of says to you, my child, I know the pain is so hard, but let me help you. What you're trying to choose is worse than where you are. Please hold on. He does that. The king could not sleep that night because the Spirit of the Lord was at work answering the prayers of the children of God. There is power in prayer. There is power in much prayer. When things don't seem to add up the first time, don't give up. Look still to him who is able. I love this psalm that was read. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. Amen. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. And the author offers a prayer. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Esther, a woman of faith, has left us with a great example of what we can do when we are under pressure. My prayer as we sing together the closing song, as we meditate through these words, is that we will look up to the hill from where our help cometh. That is from the God who is able to deliver us and to save us in the midst of any kind of situation we might be in. May the good Lord bless us. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Mwanza. I want to invite the deacons to come forward. This Sabbath offering is for the world budget, specifically for disaster and famine relief. If you'll all bow your heads with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for this Sabbath. We thank you for the blessings you've given to each one of us. Father, as we give back to you, give back to your church, we ask a special blessing on whatever we can give. May it be used to further your work in this world. We ask this all in your name. Amen. Thank you.
faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my word I live is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher place that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale
pray. Father in heaven, we ask of thee that you may plant our feet on higher ground, that we will learn to lift up our eyes and look unto you and seek true help from thee. Thank you, Father, for blessing us with your word this morning. And as we take a break, the rest of the program this morning, Father, may your face shine upon us. May your spirit go with us and your angels accompany us. In Jesus' name, amen.